Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to. For Mark Howe. Howe coming up on the right side. Howe over the line to his father. Son to father. Back and they score! Number 9, Father Howe. And number 5, Mark Howe. And the crowd appreciates that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, so do I. It's just a pleasure to see this big guy out there. Look at the work he does here. Here's the backhand shot, and he had something on it, too. I think it may have deflected just in front of the net, and it beat Denny Herron cleanly, but Big Father Time still doing his thing out here, and they're going to give him a standing ovation here in the Montreal Forum.
A tremendous tribute to one of the most...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Chat with T-Wash. We lost another legend this week. We lost Gordie Howe, a.k.a. Mr. Hockey, one of the greatest players in the NHL ever. He played 26 years in the NHL, with 25 of those years mostly with Detroit, the Detroit Red Wings. He scored his final NHL goal, which you just heard, as a Hartford Whaler. The man was so dedicated to the game of hockey, he played 6 more seasons with the Houston Aeros of the World Hockey Association. Can you guys believe it? He retired at the age of 52. Wow. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1972. He won 4 Stanley Cups with the Red Wings. He also won 6 Hart Trophies, also known as MVPs. He would finish his career with 975 career goals and 1,383 assists. That, folks, is one hell of a career. So I just want to pay my respects to Gordie Howe, like I paid my respects to Muhammad Ali this week. So now let's get into these NBA finals. Game 4. And on the last show, if I'm not mistaken, I said that Golden State would win the game on Friday. Win the game on Wednesday, but they end up losing, and that they would end up winning the game yesterday. I was right. And I said that they're going to end up closing out in 5, and I think that's still going to happen. I think they're going to close them out on Monday. And the news came out today that they lost Draymond Green to suspension. Honestly, guys, I still believe he's going to win. The Warriors are going to win the series. Even without Draymond Green. I mean, don't get me wrong. Draymond Green is a major factor of the team. He plays a major role. But I just think that it's over. So the topic of the day basically is that the Warriors take a commanding 3-1 lead with the chance to close Cleveland out on Monday. And I want to know what you guys feel about that. I also want to talk about LeBron. Will LeBron's legacy be tainted if the Cavs lose Monday night, being that he orchestrated this team, he put it together. He made all the moves. He got Andrew Wiggins out of there. He made sure they re-signed Tristan Thompson. He made sure they re-signed J.R. Smith. So he kept his guys there. And, you know, the excuses came out last season after they lost in the finals that, you know, Kyrie only played game 1 and Kevin Love wasn't there at all. So it was excuses that if they would have been at full strength, they would have beat Golden State. And all they talked about during the season was how they wanted the chance to have a rematch with Golden State. They got it, and you see the predicament they're in right now. They're 1 game away from elimination, 1 game away from getting beat 4-1. So I want to know what you guys think about this. Let's talk about it. The number is 1-516-453-9117. I just believe that it really doesn't make a difference with Draymond Green being suspended for Monday's game. I think they're still going to win. Golden State's going to be going home with all this momentum. They know they have a chance to close them out. They won the NBA championship on the Cavs court last year. Now they have a chance to close it out on their court in front of that ruckus crowd. I really don't think it makes a difference that Draymond Green is going to be absent tomorrow. I think they're still going to win this game. So tell me what you think. I also think that, I don't want to say that LeBron's legacy is going to be completely tainted because he's going to go down to the top five player. But when you make to the finals seven times and lose five, especially when you come in out of high school with all the hype, you know, come in with the Chosen One tattoo on your body and everybody proclaiming you to be the next Jordan, even though your game is more predicated like a Magic Johnson, I just think it's going to tarnish him because he should leave the game the way he came in. You know, he came in on a big high, he should leave on a high. And I think that predicates him having more than just two championships when you make it to the finals seven times. I mean, Steph Curry returned to form, scoring 38 points. He went 7-13 on three-pointers. I mean, you just have to know that they weren't going to be able to hold down the Splash Brothers the whole series. They did a good job the first three games. And you had to know it was eventually coming when it was going to break loose. Klay Thompson finished with 25 points, and he went 4-9 from three-pointers. The team, they broke an NBA Finals record by scoring 17 three-pointers. Harrison Barnes has been playing brilliantly the last two games in Cleveland. He's been a major factor. And, you know, like I said, you just can't keep the Splash Brothers down for the whole series. The Cavs did a decent job, like I said, on the Warriors' backcourt for the first three games. You know, but eventually that backcourt is just going to come through. And now that's why the Cavs are in serious trouble. So what do you guys think about this? You think the Cavs are going to be able to do anything? You think they're going to be able to – you think the loss of Draymond Green is going to help improve their chances of winning tomorrow night? 1-516-453-9117. Give me a call. Let's talk about it. Tell me what you think. What are your thoughts? You think the Cavs have it in them? Do you think LeBron's legacy is going to be tainted if he doesn't win this championship? Let's hear. Let's hear what you have to say. Kyrie Irving, I mean, he's been playing good the last couple of games in Cleveland. He finished the game with 34 points while LeBron finished with 25. But the thing that I noticed about those two guys, for whatever reason, in the fourth quarter, they morphed into Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in the previous series with Golden State and Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, they had Golden State where they wanted them, but then they resorted back to the hero ball, and that cost them the series. And it's looking like that's going to cost Cleveland the series because in game four, that whole fourth quarter, I swear I looked at the game like twice, and that whole fourth quarter, I didn't see anyone take a shot besides LeBron and Kyrie. So it's like they went away from using their team in that fourth quarter, and they still had a chance. Golden State really didn't get like an 8 or 9 point lead until like 5 minutes left in the game. That's when they started pulling away. But early in that fourth quarter, they were right there. And it's like they just went away from their teammates. And like I said, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to beat the Warriors if you go into two-man hero ball. So I just think they need to make some moves. They need to make some moves. If this doesn't work out for LeBron, then I think Cleveland needs to make a trade. If he decides to stay and doesn't opt out with free agency, I think they need to make some moves. And by moves, I mean that I think that they need to try to somehow talk to the Clippers about making a deal for Chris Paul, you know, being that Chris Paul and LeBron James are godfathers to each other's kids. So they have a close relationship. And then you know how close him and Carmelo Anthony are. So maybe LeBron, I have a chance to talk the organization to making a deal for Chris Paul and maybe Carmelo Anthony bring his boys there with him. That way there it'd be some kind of cohesiveness and they could play together. And they brought that team together to Cleveland. They brought Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul there. They would be instant final contenders. I don't think no one would beat them in the East. I mean, Miami may have a chance, but other than that, I could see LeBron making it to the finals again for an eighth time if they were to get those two. But they're going to have to make some kind of moves if this doesn't work. And I seriously don't think it's going to work. Like I said, I predict them to lose tomorrow. I don't know what type of fashion it's going to be. I don't know if Steph and Clay are going to come out on fire and, you know, go to state bench, do his job, and they blow him out or, you know, run him out of Oakland, or if it's going to be a close contested game. But I just think that they're going to lose. So I really don't see, you know, how they're going to end up winning. So like I said, you guys, if you want to talk about this, then call 1-516-453-9117 and let's talk about it. But now I'm going to take a break, and I want to see these lines light up.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 or 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm Casey Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
All right, that was Casey Taylor. Show her some support. Go to that website, buy some books. They're good for your kids, especially teenage kids. They can learn a lot from them. Now, I'll get back to the finals again. I just don't think that Cleveland has a chance tomorrow. And I got a feeling LeBron's going to play tight. Kyrie, he's probably going to do the run and gun thing. But, you know, you just never know. They might come out and play with some heart, being that their backs are against the wall again. And, you know, they're going to be in a hostile environment. They won't have that pressure of being in Cleveland. But they're going to have thousands upon thousands of fans screaming down on them, you know, as far as that Golden State crowd. So it's going to be a tough deal for them to go into Oakland and win tomorrow. But like I said before, I just see Golden State raising that Lombardi trophy. I don't see Cleveland being able to do anything about it. And it's sad to say, because like I said, I don't want to look at LeBron as a loser, you know, because he's going to be, you know, first ballot Hall of Fame. He's going to go down as one of the top five players in the world ever. It seems like he don't be aggressive like he should be. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The guy is 6'9", 260 pounds of muscle. If he wants to go anywhere on that court he want to go, he can do it. If he wants to drive it hard to the hole, he can do it. I mean, there's nothing to stop him. You know, nobody out there can physically impose their will on him. I mean, don't get me wrong, Andre Iguodala's doing a great job. He did a great job on them last finals, you know, from last year. But when it all boils down to it, LeBron, it's like he doesn't use his size, and I don't understand that. Take him down to the box and the post. You're bigger and stronger than him. Go right over the top of him. It's like LeBron's too finesse for that. It seems like he doesn't like to get physical, even though he has the body to get physical. So I don't want to completely say that, you know, he's a loser or anything like that. But, I mean, like I do believe his legacy is going to be tainted a little bit, because he should win more, especially, you know, with him putting this team together. Like I said, he put this team together. I mean, Cleveland has a general manager, but he's a default general manager. He's just a puppet. Everybody knows LeBron's calling the shots. That was part of the arrangement to get him to come back there. He's calling the shots. 1-516-453-9117. I'm not getting no calls. What's going on, guys? Somebody's supposed to call me. But, yeah, LeBron's calling the shots. he's basically doing what he wants. I said he got rid of Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins might have been a big help for him right now, but he got him out of there and got Kevin Love in. He made sure they re-signed Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, you know, to keep the band together. So this Cleveland Cavalier team has his input on it. So this is kind of on him, and that's why I'm saying I think this is going to hurt a little bit. You know, I mean, that's a lot of times to make it to the finals and only win two, but you make it seven. I mean, on your own, like I said, you got other legends that did that. Jerry West, he made it eight times and only won one title, you know. But LeBron James came in with a lot more hype than Jerry West. LeBron has, you know, but I can't say he has to do it because I just don't believe he's going to be able to do it. Well, it looks like I have a phone call. Let's see who this is. Hey, this is Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
Hey, how you doing, T-Wash? This is Casey.
Hey, Casey. What's going on? What you got for me?
I enjoy the show, first off. And I just want to call to defend LeBron James. I know he's only won two titles out of seven, did you say?
Uh-huh.
But that's an incredible feat within itself. And I don't think he should be discredited for that.
Okay. Well, see, I'm not really discrediting him. I'm just saying that he came in with so much hype, you would expect him to be able to leave with so much hype, you know? I mean, he came in, the Chosen One tattoo, Sports Illustrated covers. I mean, this guy had ESPN following him around when he's in high school. He had showcased
ESPN
games.
Okay, I understand that this is a game of basketball, though, and he's not a one-person team.
That's true.
So it's unfair to look at him as the whole team as opposed to an individual that plays a part of that team.
You have a point. You have a point. I'm not basically looking at him as the whole team, but as far as this Cleveland Cavaliers team this year, he's the architect of it. So it's kind of like you can put some of the fault on him. He orchestrated the trade of the Andrew Wiggins pick to Minnesota to bring in Kevin Love. He orchestrated Cleveland Cavaliers re-signing Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, the guys that he's depending on right now, who played good in Game 3 but really didn't show up in Game 4. So
okay.
That's kind of
really
like the reason why I'm saying that.
With who he acquired and, you know, how he put the team together. But if you compare Cleveland to who's the team that they're playing right now? Pretty Eyes.
Golden State.
To Golden State. I don't think you can compare the two teams. I mean, no matter what he do in order to make his team better, it's just Golden State's time. It seemed like they're one of those teams from the past, like my beloved Chicago Bulls from the 90s and also the Spurs. They just seem like a dynasty that nobody's going to be able to combat, no matter how great he make his team. So I think it's unfair in that aspect as well to put all the blame on LeBron James. I mean, what can he do against this team right here?
Yeah, you have a point. He can't do it alone. But LeBron also has these times where he's not aggressive, and I don't understand that because, like I said, he's the most unstoppable force out there on the court. There's no need for him to be unaggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Okay.
But he is only
okay,
one
well,
person.
Thanks for, yeah, that's true. Okay, well, thank you for calling, Casey. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling Sports Chat with T-Wash.
Okay, thanks. Love the show. Bye.
All right. Yeah, Casey has a point. I mean, I'm not trying to put all the blame on him, but I'm just making it a point to just say that, you know, he was kind of the architect of this year's team. And with all the excuses coming out of last year's final, I mean, Golden State felt disrespected too because a lot of people, we have another phone call coming in. Hello, this is Sports Chats with T-Wash. Who's calling? Hello?
Hi, Daddy.
Sports Chat with T-Wash. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's calling?
Desiree.
Wow.
I'm calling.
Hi, Desiree. I love you, but you're not supposed to be calling.
I love you too.
I love you.
But Gigi just
okay.
called you.
Okay. I know. Thank you for calling. I love you, though. You can't talk sports yet. But I love you, okay? I'll talk to you later.
But TT was the one who called me.
Yeah, TT's not on the phone talking sports. It's you, and you can't talk sports. But I love you. I don't know why they did that, but I love you. Bye-bye. Wow. See, they just put my daughter on the phone, my six-year-old daughter, who really doesn't know much about sports. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have her playing basketball and soccer, but she can't talk sports with me. But back to what I was saying. KC had a point. You know, LeBron does deserve all the blame, but he needs to, like I said, try to get his boys there. Maybe get Carmelo Anthony there, get Chris Paul there, and they'll be able to help him out. Unless he decides, well, I'm going to take another break. I'm surprised I'm not getting any phone calls. There's some guys that's supposed to be calling so we could talk some sports. The number is 1-516-453-9117.
I hate gossip.
Rest in peace to Trayvon Martin.
I'm looking for it, you know. But yesterday,
and all the other Trayvons
me, you know,
that we didn't march for,
found me. Then why don't you try
they lost their life in the hood.
How? You don't know how to do? Well, what you just do is.
Let's go. Yeah, God over money, business. I got my hoodie on for Trayvon, listening to this ignorance on how the hoodie's just as responsible as the killer is.
Really?
Geraldo, are you losing your mind or you just blind to the fact the first gangsters wore suits and ties? So if a kid in blue decides to put a clip in you, we'll justify it by saying that you fit the description too? It sound funny, don't it? Now just imagine when they rolled him over, the hoodie said God over money on it. That could have been
me,
couldn't have been
you.
I guess that's why we see it from a different point of view.
Yep.
But hold up, before the hood get to clapping for me, don't just pretend to be righteous when tragedy happens on me. It's really killing
me.
We marching in the street, following the.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Wash. Last night, there was a game at Baker's Life Fieldhouse. I'm going to get into a little high school basketball because I love basketball, period, but I spent a lot of this season going to a lot of high school basketball games. Last night, there was a game at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse here in Indianapolis. It was the Indiana All-Stars versus the Kentucky All-Stars. And once again, the Indiana All-Stars dominated the Kentucky All-Stars. This is basically a rivalry game that showcases the top high school players in each state. The Indiana All-Stars won the game 106-84, bringing the all-time series record to 94-42 in favor of Indiana. The Indiana All-Stars were led by, and this guy was really good when I saw him, my four times I saw him this year. Indiana All-Stars were led by Indiana Mr. Basketball and Lawrence Central guard, Kyle Guy, who happens to be University of Virginia bound. And Guy is one of four other Indiana All-Stars that will be playing Division I basketball next season. Like I said, I saw all these guys play in high school. Kyle Guy, I mean, it's funny, you know, because you expect most white kids to be shooters. But Kyle Guy, he's an athletic player. I mean, he can handle the rock, three ball. He can shoot mid-range. He makes his free throws. He can break people down off the dribble. He can do it all. I mean, he basically led that team. He's like the leading assist guy, and he did it all. And he's athletic. I mean, if you go to YouTube and type up Kyle Guy surprises people at the Rucker, you see this guy do a windmill. The guy's athletic, and I'm looking forward to watching him play some ACC ball next year. Against the likes of North Carolina, against the likes of Duke, against the likes of Florida State, you know, those teams. It's going to be good to see him and see, you know, how good he really is at the college level next season when he goes to Virginia. It's going to be good. He, like I said, he's really good. The next player is Southport's Joey Brunk. He finished the game with 16 points and 14 rebounds. Oh, Kyle Guy finished with 14 and 7 assists. But Brunk, he finished with 16 points and 14 rebounds. And I'm really familiar with Joey Brunk because I saw him play maybe like 8 times because my daughter happens to go to Southport High School. And, you know, I just got to tell the truth. In the beginning of the season, he played soft. And it drives me nuts to see a guy that's like 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet, you know, play finesse. It's like, you know, he's 6'10", 6'11", and he's big. He's not one of those skinny 6'10", 6'11", guys like Kevin Durant. He's a big guy, meaning he should be using his weight in the paint. And it's like the beginning of the season, he didn't do that. He was more finesse. He would throw up like little half-hook shots or try to shoot jump shots and, you know, guards and rebound the ball over him. And, you know, in my opinion, it's kind of painful watching him play. It's like, man, you're too big to beat. I will give him credit. Towards the end of the season, you know, during sectional time, he started playing more tougher. He started playing inside. He started banging, you know, with the opposing players, dominating the players that feet, you know, 2-3 feet shorter than him, like he should have been doing it, you know, all the time. And he actually led him and Paul Scruggs, they led their team to the regional final. They were a game away from, actually, semi-state. They were a game away from making it to state. So Joey Brunk, he did a good job towards the end of the season. He'll be attending Butler University next year. And I think that's a good fit for him because Butler needs a center. The next player you had that played for the Indiana All-Stars, you have Tex, Indianapolis Tex, C.J. Walker, who, you know, I'm sad to say he was a former Purdue recruit. He was going to go to Purdue, but he changed his mind, and it kind of sucked that he did. We have a phone call coming in. Let's check it out and see who it is. Yeah, this is Sports Chat with T. Watch. What's going on? Who's calling?
Oh, Daz.
Hey, Daz, how you doing? What you got for me? You got some sports to talk about with me?
Yes, I do. I've actually go to Southport, and I heard that you were talking about Joey. Yeah, I heard that he's going to Butler.
Yeah, he's going to Butler University.
Yeah. And you're right. At first, I didn't think he was a good player because, like, he was tall and he wasn't using, like, his all at it. But I think it was, like, a smaller thing. You know, it was just the high school games and stuff. But I'm sure once he makes it to, like, the college course and stuff like that, he'll do better.
I believe he'll do better when he goes to Butler next season. And he did better towards the end of the season, like I said. He got better. He started playing a lot tougher and using his size the way he should have been doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else for me, Daz?
I also like Kyle, too. He's pretty good. I've seen him.
Oh, okay,
all I wanted to say. Give a shout-out to Joey.
You got a favorite NBA team, favorite player you want to say something about?
Yeah, I like Golden State, how you were talking about earlier.
You think they're going to win tomorrow?
They better.
Why you say that? Why you say they better win?
Because they've been winning all these games. It would suck if they lose, but you never know.
Oh, okay. So who's your favorite player on the team?
I like Steph.
Steph? Okay, I'm going to ask you this. How many points do you think Steph's going to get tomorrow?
Maybe at least 20. I don't know. The last game, he wasn't really making his threes.
Yeah, but his last game, he had 38 points. You know that? That's a
lot.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, I think he's going to get 30 tomorrow.
30,
and I think they're going to win. Yeah, and I think they're going to win. But thank you for your phone call, Daz. I appreciate it, and call again, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, Desmond, she had a point. I could tell she's a Golden State fan. She called and talked about her school. But I'll get back to these high school players, you know, for the Indiana All-Stars. Like I was saying, Indianapolis Tech's C.J. Walker, who was a former Purdue recruit. You know, I'm a Purdue Boilermaker fan through and through. And it hurt when I found out that C.J. Walker changed his mind and pulled his commitment from Purdue and decided to go to Florida State. So he'll be joining Cal Guy in the ACC so they can renew their rivalry in college, which would be sweet. So I'm going to make sure I try to keep an eye on C.J. Walker, too. He had 14 points in the game last night for the Indiana All-Stars, and he's a pretty good guard. I actually saw him and Cal Guy go head-to-head. Indianapolis Tech and Lawrence Central played each other earlier this season. It was a great game. And if I can remember right, C.J. Walker had 32 and Cal Guy had 31. So they were going at it. I mean, they didn't guard each other the whole game, but, you know, there was times where they had to switch up and guard each other. So C.J. Walker has a promising future too. And the last Indiana All-Star, I really have pride in talking about because he graduated from my old high school. And his name is Damian Jefferson. He graduated from East Chicago Central High, the Cardinals, once again, my old high school, class of 95. He finished with 10 points, and he will be attending New Mexico University. So he's going to be a Lobo. Now, the thing that sucks about Damian's choice of school, we may not be able to see him as much because he's playing in the West. I don't know if they show a lot of New Mexico Lobo games. They might show a few here and there on ESPN, but it's going to be late. So I'll try to watch him as much as I can to see how he progresses through college. But these are all promising young players that I expect to do big things on the next level in college. And like I said, they were Indiana All-Stars. And I saw a lot of their games this season. Like I said, I'm a big high school guy. I love going to high school basketball games. I love the game of basketball. And I'm looking forward to doing it again this fall. And I'm going to tell you a couple of players to watch for this fall here in Indianapolis. Watch out for Southport's Paul Scruggs. Right now the only offer he has is from IU. But he's real good. Paul Scruggs is good. I love watching him play, and I'm looking forward to seeing him play this season. Watch out for Chris Wilkes, who plays at North Central High School. He has a lot of offers right now. IU, Purdue, UCLA, Xavier. Yeah, I think he even has one from Arizona. So he has some big choices to make, but he's real good. And I expect these two guys to contend for Mr. Basketball next season, Indiana Mr. Basketball. It's going to be either Scruggs or Wilkes that win it. And watch out for this junior named Romeo Langford that plays for New Albany. This little kid, now I can't say little because he's about 6'4", but this young kid, he's a beast. He led his team to the state championship in Class 5A this year. He's a beast. I've seen him play one time, and he had like 30. And he'll be a junior this year, so make sure you watch out for him too. But these guys, expect big things from all these guys I just named. And like I said, watch out for the guys that's coming up this fall. Scruggs, Wilkes, Langford. All right, I'm still not getting any calls. Where you guys at? I was hoping to talk about these finals. I mean, I want to know how you guys feel about LeBron. I want to know how you guys feel about the Warriors taking this commanding lead. I want to know how you guys feel about Draymond being suspended. With Draymond being suspended, do you think LeBron has a chance to, you know, lead his team to a victory and force a game 6 back in Cleveland? I want to know what you guys think. 1-516-453-9117. All right, well, I'm going to take another break. Hopefully these phone lines will start lighting up. They open. They open for you guys to call.
It's always room for a real one because you can't finesse the grind. The chatter gets ignored because they hating from behind. It's getting clear. They bothered that I'm here. The top in my side mirror closer than it appears. Yeah, and my peers, they know that I don't fit the stereotype. If I don't practice what I preach, then you can bury me in white. In the fast life, infected because it's full of parasites. Fine with sitting on the edge. I never been scared of hype. Married twice to the game, but never to the fame. Flirting on the case because it double up the change. Never been a sucker for love or for the game, but I've been a fan of reaping the benefits for the pain. Been drained after workouts, asthma acting up. Me and Hugh in elementary school had to catch the bus. Thought it was normal for that age. Helped us turn the page. Went from being innocent kids to ready for the stage. It was written, I never lie to y'all. And even on New Year's, I never dropped the ball. Was always a misfit from what I can recall. Never been a walk of life for me. It's always been a job. And I'ma tell you what you feed the mind ultimately grows. Feed wisely. Now I'm just reaping what I sow. Conscious rap up in my speakers. Kendrick and J. Cole. Why they asking who the best rap in the league when they know Dame Miller? Stop playing. I give it to them straight. Call me what you want, but you can never call me fake. I'm a real college grad and my pocket's full of cake. If you don't like me, it's jealousy or a mistake. I do it for the squad, they already know. CFG the click in the jungle where we grow. We beating down barriers and kicking down the dough. Set the game on fire and let it burn slow.
All right. Welcome back to Sports Chat with your boy T. Wash. I had to let y'all just hear a little bit of that Dame Dollar, a.k.a. Damian Lillard, Portland Trailblazer point guard, one of the best point guards in the league, who unfortunately doesn't get enough recognition because he's in the Western Conference, along with Steph Curry and Chris Paul, you know. And in my opinion, Damian Lillard is right there with those guys. I would take him on my team any day. But he also has a talent for rapping, so I want to let you guys hear that because I think he's one of the best rappers in the NBA, and it's cool that he raps, you know, he raps positive stuff. He's not out here talking about robbing and killing and drugs and all that other negative stuff. This guy's rapping positive stuff, and he's an NBA baller. So I just want to let you guys hear that. I have a call coming in. Let's see who this is. Hey, how you doing? This is Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Sasha.
Hi, Sasha. What you got for me?
I just wanted to comment on LeBron in the finals and why I feel he may be, you know, not playing as well.
Okay.
So I feel that he may be a little intimidated by Curry because, you know, Curry is like a newer player and LeBron's been in the game for so long, and I just feel like he may feel a little intimidated by Curry and how good he is, and so it may be affecting how he's playing in the finals. And so that's
Okay, you know what, Sasha, that's a great point. You know, when you think about it, I mean, at the end of the game yesterday, they kind of got into it because LeBron was fouling them hard.
Yeah.
And Steph was looking at him like, Steph was looking at him like, what you doing? And LeBron, you could tell LeBron was salty in his face. You know what? You might have a point. I mean, when you think about it, with all the talk that Steph Curry, if he wins this championship, he's going to be the new king of the league and all this thing going on. LeBron probably is frustrated. I know he's frustrated about hearing about Steph Curry. So that might lead to intimidation. That's a good point.
Sasha.
I agree with
you. It's almost like Curry may be taking his place because, you know, you said, he's starting to be the king or whatever of the NBA, but
You know what? Like I said, you hit it right on the money. I think that too. I believe that too. You know, he knows that his reign, I mean, because LeBron's still going to be the best player in the NBA because he does it all. He does it on the offensive end. He does it on the defensive end. He can rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a physical freak. So he's still going to be the best player in the league, but with Steph Curry playing the way he's playing and then beating him two times in a row in the finals, you know, people are going to question that. You know, like you said, he's intimidated of him. So that's a good point. I completely agree with you. But,
thank you.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Sasha. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm, I love the show.
I appreciate the call. All right, thank you, Sasha. Call again.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, Sasha had a great point. You know, I never really looked at it like that, but he may be intimidated of him. I mean, 2 years in a row, he's going to get put out by this guy and his team. And I'm just calling it now. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the game is going to be played tomorrow. But like I said, even without Draymond Green, I don't see them going into Oakland, that hostile environment, those fans are going to be ruckus and crazy. I just don't see Cleveland being able to do it. LeBron's going to have one of those games where he scored about 45 to 50 points, have about 12, 13 rebounds and like 8 assists, getting his team involved. That's the only way I can see them winning this game, even without Draymond Green. Because like I said, Golden State, they closed them out in Cleveland last year. They won the championship on Cleveland's floor. This year they have a chance to win it on their floor. You know how motivated those guys are going to be to win this game tomorrow? I just don't see Cleveland being able to do it. And Sasha, like I said, Sasha hit it on the money. LeBron is intimidated. He may be a little intimidated of Steph Curry. I don't want to say he's completely intimidated of him, but like I said, I know it's getting to him that Steph Curry is getting all this attention when it was him that was getting all the attention. Now it's Steph Curry. It's been the Steph Curry show for the last 2 years. And you know that has to bother somebody that has an ego that, like I said, that came in as the chosen one. He's the next big thing. He's the next big thing since Michael Jordan. So you know it has to bother him when somebody, like, right there on that perch with him and basically, like, almost taking his place. And if Steph Curry win his title, and if Steph Curry has a good game tomorrow, win his title, you might have to put him neck and neck. I mean, because right now, in my opinion, the best players in the league, the top five in my league, well, I'll give you four. The top four in my league right now, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and Steph Curry. That's the top four in the league right now. And I just believe that LeBron, he does have a little bit of intimidation of Steph Curry because this man has been beating him. Now, I got a sports history fact to give y'all today. Now, I do these every show. I'm going to do them every show. And on this day, June 12, 1990s, Orioles great and Hall of Famer Cal Ripken plays his 1,308th consecutive game. You guys remember he had that streak, that consecutive game streak that he broke the record eventually. But on June 12, 1990, he played 1,308 consecutive games to move past Everett Scott into second place on the all-time list. He eventually ended up breaking that record. So that's the sports fact of the day. I said Cal Ripken, he was one of the greatest second basemen ever, one of the greatest baseball players ever. I also have a little bit of history I want to talk about. Well, not history, but the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs are doing good right now. They have an ML best 42-18 record. And unfortunately, they beat my Braves last night, 8-2, with Chris Bryant and former Braves outfielder Jason Hayward both hitting homers. The Cubs are rolling right now. Like I said before last show, I don't want to jinx them, but you can't help but to talk about them because of their history. You know, the curse, the black cat, the goat. I mean, I remember being young watching Cubs games with my great-grandma. She was a big diehard fan. You know, I watched them back in the days when they had Leon Durham and Sean Dunston and Ryan Sandberg and Mark Grace, those guys, George Bell. That's the time I used to watch the Cubs, and I actually root for them a little bit, even though I always have been a White Sox fan. But so far, the St. Louis Cardinals, from what I see, the St. Louis Cardinals and San Francisco Giants seem to be the only teams that could challenge Chicago for the National League crown. I really don't see anybody else being able to do it right now unless the Cubs have a key injury. Cubs fans, knock on wood that doesn't happen. Because I really believe that this may be the year that the Cubs finally do it. At least make it to a World Series, if not win it. At least make it to a World Series because they're a young team. They're a young, up-and-coming team, and they got a lot of talent. But, guys, like I said, if you want to talk Warriors, talk about LeBron's legacy. Is it tainted? if LeBron loses tomorrow night, will his legacy be tainted? And how do you feel about the Warriors taking command in 3-1 lead? How do you feel about Draymond Green being suspended for tomorrow's game? Do you think LeBron and the Cavs will have a chance to win now because Draymond's not playing? 516-453-9117. Give me a call. Sports fans, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Cavs. Let's talk about any type of sport. If you want to talk football, we could talk football. Like I said before, if you want to talk a little hockey, we could talk hockey. If you want to talk baseball, we could talk baseball. But if you want to do those things, all you got to do is call. The lines are open. 1-516-453-9117. I want to get into the NBA draft that's coming up. And I'll do that after this commercial break. We're going to talk about the NBA draft. And I have a list of the top 10 players. I'm just going top 10. We'll break that down and talk about them. So, once again, those lines are open. Callers, 1-516-453-9117.
If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports, then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1-516-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, we'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So if you love to talk about sports and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash. And that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, I what the game made me, not what the fame made me. No amount of money can change me, I what you lame can't be. Live.
All right. Back to Sports Talk with your boy T. Wash. We're going to talk about the NBA draft. I usually go to this site called NBADraft.net to get their mock draft. They're usually one of the most dependable ones. They're usually one of the most accurate ones about the teams and who they're going to pick. So I usually deal with them. I usually go to their site if I want to know who's going to go where and when they're going to go and all that type of stuff. So they have the 76ers taking Ben Simmons out of LSU. I'm really not sold on him. I need to see more of him because when he played at LSU, they were, like, comparing him to LeBron James. He's, like, the same size. He's, like, 6'9", about 250. He can handle the ball. He has guard skills. He can rebound. He's a good passer to be a big man. But he doesn't shoot. Everything I've seen him do in college is inside. You know, he'd drive it to the basket, he'd dunk, you know, he'd play in the post a little bit, but I've never seen him shoot like a 10 to 15 foot shot. I've seen him shoot free throws, and he wasn't that accurate at that. So it's like, I want to know what's so special about him. Like, why everybody wants him? Why is he the number one pick? And honestly, if I was him, I would boycott if the Sixers picked me because the 76ers, they're horrible. The last three drafts, the 76ers have taken centers. So it's like they don't know what they're doing. So if I was a top player, top collegiate player, I wouldn't want to play for the 76ers, even though it is an NBA team. It's like you're going to a dumpster fire. But, yeah, Ben Simmons, to me, I need to see more. I need to see why he's the number one pick, why everyone considers him the consensus number one pick in the NBA draft. I haven't seen enough. I mean, like I say, you have to be able to shoot at least. And I haven't seen the man shoot a, like I said, 10 to 15-foot jump shot besides a free throw. And number two, they have the Lakers taking Brandon Ingram. And I think he's a good fit and a good pick for them because I would compare him to Kevin Durant because he's like 6'9", he's gangly, he's real skinny, he can shoot, he can handle the ball a little bit, and he's built exactly like Kevin Durant. So I would – if I was the Lakers, I would stick with that pick. I think he'd be a good fit, you know, because with Kobe leaving now, they're going to have to make a lot of moves, and I know they're going to be trying to get free agents in this summer. They're going to be trying to get something because it's been a long time since the Lakers have been a losing organization, and they're really a losing organization now. You know, with Kobe gone, I mean, they have a few good players, young players, and they like I said, they're trying to get some free agents in there, some good free agents. They may be getting DeMar DeRozan because DeMar DeRozan said he wanted to play there because he's from there, and he's a free agent. So I don't know. They might throw the bank at DeMar DeRozan. He would be a good fit. If he goes there, he would probably be the star of the team, star right now in Toronto. But Brandon Ingram, like I said, he could shoot. He can handle the ball. He goes to the hole. He has heart. He plays tough. He's only a freshman at Duke this year. So I think he'd be a good fit for the Lakers. Now, they have the Celtics getting National Player of the Year, Buddy Hield, from Oklahoma. He's a good guard. He can shoot. But I really don't know how he is as far as creating his own shot. But he definitely can shoot. I don't know if he's really good at going to the hole or handling the ball. I didn't see him really handle the ball that much. But I seen him shooting a lot of jump shots. He can shoot. He has heart. But he may be a good fit for the Celtics. I don't know. It just depends on what the Celtics do. If the Celtics can get one of these top free agents to go alongside him, Isaiah Thomas at the point guard, then they'll be decent. I mean, the Celtics did make the playoffs this year, so they're making strides. And Brad Stevens, their coach, has been doing a great job for them. You know, he left Butler, and you didn't expect him to be able to transition, you know, his coaching style from college to the NBA, but he did. And the Celtics have made the playoffs the last 2 years in a row, and I expect big things from them. So Buddy Hield may be a good fit, but I'm not for sure on it. Now, the Phoenix Suns, they're number four, and they're taking a foreigner named Dragan Bender. I don't know much about him. I just know he's a 7-foot power forward, which tells me he's a 7-foot shooter. Because most of the guys, the big men that play overseas, the European guys, they're shooters. So I'm expecting him to be probably a 3-point shooter or, you know, one of those big guys, big European guys that has a jump shot that can shoot from everywhere on the floor. So I'm expecting him to be like that. But like I said, I haven't seen him at all. I'm just really assuming because that's the type of player that comes from Europe. Those big guys, 7-foot guys that's skinny, they really just shooters. And number five, the Timberwolves are taking Jamal Murray from Kentucky. Now, I really like him. He played the two guard alongside Tyler Ulis, and he was real good at Kentucky. He was a scorer, though. And he played defense a little bit. And I'm curious to see how his game will transition to the NBA. And he's definitely going to an up-and-coming team because with the addition of with the addition of a few moves they made in Minnesota, Minnesota's up and coming. I mean, they already have Andrew Wiggins. They have Rubio at the point guard. And they're going to be pretty good. They have Carl Anthony Towns, who won Rookie of the Year at the center. So, and like I said, Tom Thibodeau, he's going to make them play defense, which is going to make them even better. So expect the Timberwolves, as long as they don't have any key injuries, expect the Timberwolves to have a pretty decent year next year and be fighting for a playoff spot. And Jamal Murray, he'll make a big difference for him. I don't know if he'll come in right off the back and start. I don't expect that. But he could be a contributor off the bench and eventually, you know, get a starting spot at the two guard. Now, at six, they have the New Orleans Pelicans taking Chris Dunn out of Providence. He's a good guard. He's a scorer. He's like one of the leading scorers in the Big East. And he can run the point position. He led his team to the second round of the NCAA tournament this year. So Chris Dunn is pretty good. I could see him flourishing in New Orleans because I don't know how much Eric Gordon got left in the tank for the Pelicans. They might end up releasing him or they might end up sitting him on the bench because I don't know how much Eric Gordon has left. It's like once his knees got injured, his game has just been going downhill year after year. So I can see Chris Dunn getting in there and making a big difference. At number seven, they have the Nuggets taking Jaylen Brown out of California. I don't know much about him. I just know he's one of the top freshmen in the country last year coming into college. He's a McDonald All-American. He played some at shooting guard and some at small forward, and he was a decent player from what they say in the conference. But I don't know much about him, and they have him going to the Nuggets. And the Nuggets need all the help they can get because they've been a down organization since Carmelo Anthony got traded to the Knicks. I have a call coming in. Sports chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
Hi, this is PT Minister PT Stallworth from Miraville, Indiana. How are you?
I'm doing good, PT. How are you? What you got for me?
I'm wonderful. I love your show. Thank God.
Thank
I love
you.
Your show. Look,
you.
I want to run this by you. A lot of women, you know, we're off into sports. And we like what's going on, you know. We like sports, like for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, personally, I like a lot of sports. But why is it that men get so involved in sports that they don't have time? And I'm getting complaints from young women. They don't have time for them. They are watching
they,
sports
wait, they,
and don't have time.
They
don't,
no, they
have,
don't have
time,
time for their women?
For their wives or significant others. Why is that? I mean, I'm a woman. I love sports.
Okay, well, PT, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I guess what I would say to those women, some guys just gravitate more towards sports than anything. But see, my situation, I happen to be one of the lucky guys. I have a wife that loves sports too, so that's not an issue.
Beautiful.
You know, my wife, she travels to football games with me. We go to basketball games with me. You know, I couldn't imagine myself being with a woman that doesn't have some type of love of sport. And,
okay.
I mean, all I can say is, fortunately, I have that. So I can't really speak on those guys. But they shouldn't put sports over their wife. You know, I mean, they should try to involve them.
I
so
have a lot of young women come to me with that complaint. I like that. I like that very much. And I wish a lot of men were listening, you know, take part and invite their wives into their sports arena. You know, men have sports bars and they have their little sports men caves and things like that. But we women, we like basketball and football and all of that. I know I do. But congratulations on your show. Continue on. I'll be listening to you, and I'll have my members listen as well. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, PT. I appreciate the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, PT has a point. There are some guys out there that do put sports and other things ahead of their spouse, and you shouldn't do that. I mean, your spouse is your number one, you know. But like I said, I'm a fortunate man. I have a wife that loves the same sports I love. Like I said, we're involved with each other. We coach basketball together. You know, we coach middle school basketball together. We go to games together, football games, basketball games. It really doesn't matter, you know, with my wife. And like I said, I couldn't imagine being with another woman who doesn't like sports because I love them so much. And I would want, you know, that same type of person that love them. You know, she doesn't have to love them as much as me, but at least I can talk to her about it. And, you know, I have one of those wives, I don't have to explain things. You know, I know people who have to explain things to their wives when they try to watch the sports with them. I don't have to do that. You know, so I'm a very fortunate man. But let me get back to this mock draft. And you see, I'm willing to talk anything, guys. I could go off topic. It doesn't just have to be the topics that I'm presenting. We could talk any type of sport or anything. You see, PT's stalwart question was about men not paying attention to their wives because of sports. And you see, we talked about it. I'm versatile, guys. So, like I said, if you want to talk, 1-516-453-9117. Now, back to this NBA draft. Now, at number eight, the Sacramento Kings are taking Marquese Chriss out of Washington. He's a power forward. I said, I don't really know much about him either. He played in the Pac-10, and honestly, the Pac-10 is not one of my favorite conferences, so I really didn't watch much Pac-10 ball, but I know he was a freshman too, and he was a McDonald's All-American. So that tells you that he has some type of clout. And, you know, 9 out of 10, most of these McDonald's All-Americans, if they were allowed to come out in the draft straight out of high school the way they used to be, he probably would have got drafted last year. But they have the Kings taking him at number 8 at the power forward spot. And I'm assuming that he's going to back up DeMarcus Cousins, because DeMarcus Cousins is the man on that team. Unless they move DeMarcus Cousins to the center and play this kid, he's going to be riding the bench and learning. Now, the number nine spot, the Toronto Raptors are taking Domantas Sabonis out of Gonzaga. Now, I know this kid because Gonzaga, ESPN shows a lot of Gonzaga games, so you can see this guy. And the thing that's crazy about it, Domantas Sabonis is the son of former Lithuanian Olympian and All-Star and former Portland Trailblazer Arvydas Sabonis, who's one of the best big men ever, like in the world. Arvydas Sabonis, I love him when he played for the Blazers. He played center, and he shoot threes, he could play inside, he had post moves. Sabonis was a good player, one of the best players in the world. And unfortunately for him, he made it to the NBA when he was older. And once he got, like, in his 30s, that's when he came to the NBA. He didn't come when he was in his 20s, when he was dominating the whole European league. He's, like, the best player in Europe. And his son, he's not as good as Sabonis. He can't shoot like Arvydas, like his dad, but he plays inside. You know, he does all the rugged work. He can rebound. He can block some shots. He can score in the inside. So they have Toronto Raptors taking him. And Toronto Raptors have a tendency for taking a lot of foreign guys. They have a lot of foreign players on their team. So he'll be a good fit there. Like I said, he'll get him a lot of hustle and a lot of putbacks, do a little bit of the dirty work and things like that. So I think he'd be a perfect fit for the Toronto Raptors. And at 10, they have the Milwaukee Bucks taking Jakob Poeltl. And he's a center out of Utah. Big kid, has good post moves, good feet. He can score the ball in the inside. He's not really athletic, but I think he'd be a good fit for the Milwaukee Bucks. I have another phone call. Let's check it out. Yeah, this Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling? Hello?
Hi, Uncle Ty. I like your show.
Hi, Alan. How you doing, buddy? I love you. I love you too, buddy. Take it easy. Yeah, that was my nephew calling in. Just like my daughter, my 6-year-old daughter, I don't understand how they're being allowed to call in and they can't really talk to me about sports and things like that. But I guess it's okay. It's really not, but it's for today's show, I guess. But Jakob Poeltl, he'll be a good fit for the Milwaukee Bucks. They need some size to go along with the Greek Freak. You know, the Greek Freak is an athletic monster. And Jakob Poeltl will get him some size. He'll get him a post presence, get him some kind of defensive presence inside. So he'll be a good fit. So those are all that's the top 10 pick of the NBADraft.net mock draft. And like I said, they're usually accurate and usually good with their picks. Usually when they have it like the way it is, that's where the player go. They're usually pretty accurate. You know, like I said, we got a few minutes left for the show. I just wanted to talk about the Warriors taking a 3-1 lead. And like I said, I believe that it's a done deal tomorrow. I think that Golden State is going to close them out. I don't see LeBron being able to get the troops together to, you know, prevent Steph and the Warriors from closing it out. Like I said, they're going to be celebrating on their home court this year if they win the championship. They celebrated on Cleveland's court last year, but now they're going to be able to do it on their home court in front of that ruckus crowd. They're going to be extremely motivated to close the series out and not go back to Cleveland. So I don't see Cleveland doing it, and I think it's going to be a lot of issues going on in Cleveland after this game. We're going to hear start hearing the news whether LeBron gonna decide to stay or go, decide to opt out or stay, and then, you know, we're gonna hear if he does stay, we're gonna hear about Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving being on the trading block, and we start hearing rumors about Cleveland trying to get Chris Paul or Carmelo Anthony or maybe even Dwayne Wade. He could opt out. You know, him and LeBron are like brothers too. Maybe Dwayne Wade might, you know, go to Cleveland. Do him a favor and go to Cleveland like he went to Miami, like LeBron went to Miami. Maybe Dwayne Wade might switch it up and go to Cleveland next year. I mean, who knows? We'll see. But I'm expecting to be a lot of changes. They're going to blow up that Cavs team if they lose this game on Monday night, because that's going to be a backdoor sweep. It's going to be 4-1. That's not good. So I'm expecting LeBron to make some type of decision here over the summer, whether he's going to stay with Cleveland or go, opt out and become a free agent. And as far as LeBron's legacy being tainted, I heard a lot of good points today. You know, his legacy is not going to be, you know, I don't want to say tainted, but it's not going to be good. To make it to the finals 7 times and win 2, you know, especially when you orchestrated this team, you put this team together. The general manager is a puppet. LeBron is the general manager. He put this team together. He got the coach fired. David Black got fired. They raised up, you know, they promoted Tyronn Lue to the coach, so he got that. And then, like I said, he made sure they re-signed Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith. He made sure they traded Andrew Wiggins, the rights to Andrew Wiggins, to Minnesota to bring in Kevin Love. So all this was LeBron doing. He put this together. And that's why I say he bears responsibility for this. I mean, I understand the man can't win it by himself, even though he did a good job last year in the finals. He almost took them to that title itself, you know, without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love last year in the finals. But this year, it's no excuses because his team was at full strength. They was on a roll. They rolled through the Eastern Conference Finals. They rolled through it. Only challenge they had in the Eastern Conference was those 2 games against Toronto, and it was like they were sleepwalking in those games. Other than that, they swept the previous 2 series. They swept Detroit, and they swept Atlanta. So they rolled through the East. The East was – they rolled through it the whole season. So they were playing at full strength. Kyrie Irving led them in scoring this whole playoff run until he got to the finals. I have another call coming in. Let's see who's calling. Hey, what's going on? It's Sports Chat with your boy T. Wash. Who's calling?
Yes, this is Quinte.
What's going on, Quinte? What you got?
I was just calling to get your opinion on LeBron James' playoff attitude, his mentality.
Okay. Well, like I said before, I believe his attitude is passive at times. You know, he's been passive in his finals. You know, like I said before, the guy is 6'9", 260 of muscle. Can't nobody on that court stop him. He should be able to get his shot anywhere he wants. Instead of relying on these jump shots, he's supposed to be taking it into the bucket every time. And I still like the point that Sasha made earlier. I think the man may be a little intimidated, though, Steph, because think about it. This man has beat him the last 2, and I'm saying he beat him because I truly believe they're going to get closed out tomorrow. This man has beat him 2 years in a row. He's getting all the attention. He's knocking LeBron off his perch. I think LeBron's attitude is passive now. I think he believes that his team just can't beat him. His team is just not as good as Golden State. They're not good enough. And that's why I truly believe when they said those Cleveland fans were rooting hard for Oklahoma City to win, I believe that. Because if this was Oklahoma City, Cleveland would probably be winning 3-1 right now. Because for whatever reason, Kevin Durant can't play against LeBron. I mean, he scores 30, but in crucial moments, Kevin Durant don't show up against LeBron. And LeBron teams always beat Oklahoma City. So that's why I truly believe the Cleveland fans were rooting hard for Oklahoma City to win. They didn't want to go to state. No matter what LeBron and the Cavs said, you know, oh, yeah, we want them. We're at full strength. We weren't at full strength last year. We're at full strength this year. We want them. They didn't want to go to state, man. I truly believe that, Quinte. And I just think his attitude now, especially now, I mean, he had a confident attitude going into the playoffs, you know, in the beginning, because like I just said, they rolled through the East, man. They rolled through the East. They lost two games against Toronto, and it was like they were sleepwalking when they played those two games in Toronto. And once he got to the finals, I believe he got nervous because he knows Golden State good. I mean, think about it. They did good defensively the first three games against the Splash Brothers. I mean, but you had to know that eventually the Splash Brothers were going to break through. Like I said, Steph had 38 and Klay had 25 the other day, well, yesterday. You know what I mean? So I just think LeBron, he may be a little intimidated old Steph, man. I don't know, man. Like I said, I like that point Sasha made. She was right on the money because when you look at it, like I said, he's getting all the attention and he just hasn't been right. You know, it doesn't make any sense, man. I mean, he's 6'9". He can do whatever he wants. Go to the basket instead of shooting these jumpers. And what happened the last game in the fourth quarter, him and Kyrie Irving turned it to Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. They started playing hero ball. I swear, I don't remember Kyrie or LeBron passing to a teammate in that fourth quarter in the game the other day. I don't remember it. I mean,
yeah.
So I just think LeBron, I don't think that he's there mentally now, man. I think that he's already defeated. He looks defeated to me. I mean, what do you think?
I agree with you. He's acting like very passive, and I think he feels that his time to win a championship is running out. And
yeah.
It's new blood in the NBA, and his chances are running out. And plus,
yeah,
I also believe that the way that the Warriors play, their playing style, they could wear any team down. You know, they actually can devastate teams with the three-point shooting. They actually play defense, and a lot of teams can't handle that. And they run. So
If
you're running and coming down after you pass half court, shooting three-pointers, or just, you know, playing their style of play, it's pretty much curtains for the opposing team.
I completely agree.
That's all I had to say. Great show. I'll be tuning in again, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Quinte. I appreciate the call, buddy. All right. Yeah, Quinte, he was right. He's right. The Warriors can run you out of the gym. It's like they imposed their will on you. Like I said, they made an NBA Finals record in Game 4 by hitting 17 three-pointers. And then their stamina is off the charts. It's like everybody on their team, no matter who they shuffle in and out of the lineup, all of them can run and not get tired. So, you know, he was right. They wear you down. They can outrun you. They can outshoot you. They defend you. Everybody plays great team defense. So I just really don't see them losing tomorrow's game, even with the absence of Draymond Green. I believe, they might put in James and Michael McAdoo. He came in Game 4 and made a difference. I believe they put him in the game. You know, then you got Barbosa coming off the bench. You know, and then you got Iguodala coming off the bench, unless they decide to start Iguodala tomorrow. I mean, they just go to state. They even have that guy Ian Clark, who comes in every once in a while for Steph. He makes plays. So it's like, and Sean Livingston, it's like they just connected. They just connected as one. This may be, you know, I'm almost tempted to say it. I didn't want to agree with it at first, you know, with comparing them to the 96 Bulls, but it may be just as great as the 96 Bulls. I mean, the Bulls finished 72-10. They finished 73-9. The Bulls won the championship. They're going to win the championship. So, bro, dare you say that this is the season ever, even over the 96 Bulls with the great Michael Jordan? If they win this game tomorrow convincingly, I'm just throwing it out there that this is the greatest season ever to finish the season 73-9 and win the championship and then have an epic comeback against, unfortunately, the team I root for, Oklahoma City, being down 3-1 and winning 3 straight. I wonder if even the great Jordan and the Bulls could do that. So if they win this game tomorrow convincingly, I'm going to say that this is the greatest season ever. Even if they don't win convincingly, this more likely still is the greatest season ever in NBA history, because I don't see this record being broken for a long time. To go 74-8, I don't see this happening again. So this 73-9 is going to last for some years, just like that 96 Bulls 72-10 lasted. But I'm going to hit one last commercial, and then we're going to end the show. Welcome back to Sports Chat with your boy T. Wash. all right, everybody, make sure you check out the game tomorrow, and let's see what happens. Let's see if Golden State close them out and win back-to-back championships and go down as the greatest team in NBA history, at least for a season, and see if they could do this without Draymond Green, who is a focal point of their team. He's basically the heart of their team. But I just believe that Golden State is going to be so amped up to close out Cleveland and win this championship on their floor in front of that ruckus crowd. I just don't see Cleveland being able to do anything about it. Or let's see if LeBron, you know, is going to have that Herculean performance where he scores 45-50, have about 10 rebounds, have about 8-10 assists, you know, a triple-double, you know, get his teammates involved, and be able to force a game 6 back in Cleveland. If you could do that, then you just never know what could happen. The sky's the limit. But like I said, I just don't see it. So I'll end with this. Sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life? All right, I want to thank everybody. Thank you, all the callers who called in and chimed in. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you again. I hope I did a good enough job where you check out Sports Chat with T-Wash again, and I'm going to be doing this show on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 5:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time. So if you ever want to call in and talk sports or talk a little, you know, talk about a little something else, it doesn't matter. We could go off topic. We don't just have to go by the topics that I'm presenting to you guys. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys. Have a good one.